time to heed the call for financial freedom. This is the Audible Advisor Podcast with Spiros Vassalakos of Athenian Private Client Group.
Welcome back in the Audible Advisor Podcast. Glad to have you. I'm Ben George alongside Spiros Vassalakos, President at Athenian Private Client Group there in Tampa. And we're glad to have you on the show. Going to be a good show. As always, we're going to go against the grain a little bit. Some of the mainstream opinions in financial planning are out there, and you probably heard them, but sometimes a good advisor is going against those ideas and telling you what's best for you and not what maybe you want to hear. So it should be a good show. But Spiros, I guess we need to start. You know, a lot since we last recorded, a lot's happened, obviously, with Hurricane Ian, and I'm glad to hear that you're okay, but it's really impacted a lot of people in your area.
Absolutely. I mean, we have friends and family down in Fort Myers, down in the Lee County area. And I just want to, you know, give my my prayers and hope that, you know, everyone down there, you know, actually recovers as, you know, as quickly as they can. And, you know, for those individuals who are listening to this podcast, whether you're in Florida or you're outside of Florida, if you're looking to donate, please go to www.floridadisasterfund.org. And if you'd like to donate through text, please text the word disaster to 2022. And also the Red Cross as well. You can go onto the Red Cross website and go into the Florida Hurricane Ian Disaster Fund and donate through there as well. So I just want to, you know, let everybody know down in Fort Myers, if you're listening, we're here for you and hope you guys recover as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we'll put that information on the show notes. So if you do want to donate and I'm not sure where to start, we'll put that in there to help you out. But yeah, I know kind of watching that leading up to it, it looked like it was headed up your way. I know Spiros, Tampa was kind of in the sight line a little bit, but I guess the worst part was it just many people didn't expect it to be too strong, but it just really advanced all of a sudden.
Yeah, you know, out when it was out in the Gulf, it was a Cat 3, and they were expecting when it was going to come in, obviously it was looking to come into the Tampa Bay area, and, you know, it obviously went down further south, which is about 100 miles away from where we are, came in at a Cat 4. And unfortunately, you know, those barrier islands, I mean, you have homes that are, you know, first story homes, you're basically level to the, you know, to the Gulf. And, you know, when you have 8 to 10 foot surges, you know, it was expected that there was going to be a lot of flooding. And unfortunately, a lot of individuals affected, you know, because of the flooding and the surges that were coming in.
Well, again, we are very sorry for anyone that was affected by this, and you have our sympathies. And again, if you want to donate, want to help out, we'll put that information in the show notes for you. All right. So today we are going to get into some of this financial advice that you might hear out there that it comes from the mainstream. It's just a very common idea that's out there about, you know, how to progress in these certain areas of financial planning. But being a good advisor is not always about following those trends and winning a popularity contest. It's about giving the advice to the client that's best for their individual situation. So we want to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit in some of these areas where a financial advisor's opinion might go against the grain in the mainstream idea of the industry. So let's start off here, Spiros, with the appropriate amount of risk for retiree or pre-retiree. I know there's some simple rules to follow here that are kind of mainstream, but how do you help key in on that for someone?
Yeah, you know, we do that through a risk assessment. You know, it's basically a 2-minute type questionnaire that basically focuses on the individual and how they, you know, feel about risk. And, you know, if certain things were to happen, you know, in the market or in the economy, you know, how would they, you know, want to, you know, basically protect their risk? So, you know, a lot of the pre-retirees, you know, we do talk about time horizon, which is really, really important because it just gives you, you know, the longer you have, you know, the more you can able to sustain a lot of the ups and downs of the market. So, you know, we normally try to help our clients during the pre-retirement stage. And we're talking about somewhere between 10 to 15 years out. Now, you know, we have our clients that are very close to retirement that are maybe, you know, 5 years out. So as we get closer, we try to be a little bit more conservative, try to maintain and retain a lot of the wealth and gains that they've accumulated in their portfolio. And, you know, we focus focus more on a, you know, maybe growth and income type strategy, or even just an income strategy, because we know that eventually they're going to start taking income as a supplement to their salary once they retire. So, you know, at the end of the day, it really comes down to the risk assessment. It's a number that basically gives us and the client an idea of, you know, how we should, you know, customize that portfolio for them. Again, we do have clients that are, you know, going to retire, and they still want to be a little bit more aggressive than, you know, the average individual. So, you know, we try to do what's right for the client in addition to listening to them and what they really want when it comes to their goals.
All right. So risk is the first one on our list. What about life insurance? I'm curious kind of what the general consensus is for life insurance, because everybody's got a different opinion. And then, you know, beyond the general consensus, where do you stand with life insurance?
Well, listen, life insurance, you got to look at it in two different ways. So when you're younger, it's what we call phase one. You're using life insurance just basically to protect if anything was to happen to you or your spouse. You both would obviously get life insurance to actually fill in the voids. And, you know, one of the voids would be if you have a two household income, if one unfortunately, you know, God forbid, you know, passes away, the life insurance will help at least fill in that income void that will be missing. In addition to, you know, if you have children and they're very young, and you know you need a, you know, certain lifestyle that, you know, that you need to sustain for them, to, you know, feed them, clothe them, in addition to schooling, we look at life insurance as a way to, you know, fill in that void as well. Now, as you get older, you know, we start looking at, you know, using it as more of an estate planning strategy, where, you know, we have individuals that, you know, right now a lot of individuals don't have to worry about, you know, the estate tax. In the state of Florida, there is no estate tax, but the federal tax right now, you know, is $11.2 million. A lot of people don't have that much estate wealth to actually say, you know what? You know, I don't think life insurance is really going to be the right thing for me. So we use it more towards, like, you know, if you have a life insurance policy, let's look at long-term care, maybe put a long-term care rider in there, because you are getting older. You just never know. Things happen. You know, you may need some home care. You may find yourself in an assisted living facility, and you don't want to really burden your children. So we use it for that. And, you know, we have older clients that, you know, want to actually use it, you know, to maybe fund their grandkids' education if something was to happen to them, right? And the last thing is, you can also use life insurance as a retirement income stream as well. I mean, there's a cash value that does grow in there if you have permanent insurance, and those are whole life, universal life, variable life policies, where you can actually use the cash value and use it as a supplement to retirement income. So there's all sorts of ways you can use life insurance. I think the misconception is, you know, life insurance is only used when you're to cover, you know, burial expenses, or maybe to cover some taxes and expenses, you know, for the spouse that the surviving spouse to use. Well, you can use it in all sorts of ways. And so those are the ways that we use it with our clients.
All right. So that's life insurance. What about debt? So we know that we want to be debt free if possible, but there are such thing as good debt and bad debt. So what's your approach to debt?
Well, good debt is obviously, you know, anything that you've invested in, like a home, right? Anything that's an appreciated type value that you've accumulated debt for, a business, you know, something that's gonna bring back some sort of appreciation, or what we call a return on investment. That's good debt. Now, bad debt would be credit card debt, right? You know, obviously you see where the credit card rates are now. I mean, they went up from 16% all the way up to 26% just because the rates have gone up. So, you know, if you have credit card debt, you know, the first thing that we tell our clients, especially our clients that are, you know, 20, 25 years away from retirement, we'd love for you to bring down your debt and pay it up as much as you can, because that's going to just, you know, give you more flexibility to use that discretionary money that you're not paying in interest. You could put it towards retirement. You could put it towards, you know, renovations on your home. Maybe you want to start a business. So we tell people, pay down that debt as much as you can, but don't be afraid to have the good debt, because the good debt can also be, you know, a tax deduction for you as well. You know, you're paying mortgage interest, you're paying interest interest on a personal loan, you know, those things, or a business loan, those things can actually help you when you fill out your tax returns, you know, and they could be exemptions for you as well. So don't be afraid of that. But again, make sure you're sitting down with your CPA, your tax advisor. Those are the individuals that will give you an idea of, you know, where you are as far as taxes and how it can help you. But always include your financial advisor, so that this way, whatever you save in taxes and whatever you save in interest, bad interest, meaning credit card interest, you can use that money towards other things that can help you for retirement, or, you know, actually help you live maybe a little bit of a better lifestyle.
Very good. Well, I know a question that comes up a lot is whether or not we need to pay off the house, right? Or how to pay it off before retirement, maybe, if you should expedite your finances and try to make that a priority. So what do you think, Spiros? Is that something you want to try to prioritize, or is it okay to continue the payments?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, the best way to, you know, pay down a mortgage would be making an extra one or two payments a year. That will help, you know, go from let's say a 30-year you know, term that you have to maybe a 20-year, right? So you may be able to pay off the house a lot earlier. You can structure. We do that with our clients, to structure a schedule to say, you know, here's the best way to, you know, bring down one, you know, what you owe, in addition to paying it a lot quicker. Now, is it always the right thing? Well, you know, if you're looking at your house as a retirement nest egg, right, and you want to pay it off a lot quicker, and it does build in equity, fantastic. But you know what, to be honest with you, and unfortunately, what we saw down in Fort Myers and, you know, in Lee County area, and, you know, we in Naples, we saw a lot of people that actually paid off their homes, and they use it, you know, as their retirement nest egg, right? So, if they decide to sell their house, that's going to be their retirement money, right? Well, unfortunately, if you have, you know, things that, you know, unfortunately happened, you know, what happened down there, now you're using, you know, now you have insurance money that you got to rebuild the house, or, you know, you got to figure out what you want to do from there. So I try to tell my clients, don't use your home as a retirement nest egg. Use your home, pay it down, and then whatever discretionary income that you save from paying down that, put it towards a retirement fund if you can, or, you know, try to figure out and say, okay, what is it I could do with this money so I can, you know, generate more income from it.
All right, we're talking about how a financial advisor might go against the grain for some of the common beliefs in financial planning. What about the appropriate use of annuities? I know this can be a polarizing topic for a lot of people when annuities come up.
Well, you know, the question is, you know, is an annuity right for me? I get this question all the time. And, you know, for some people it is. I mean, I tell individuals, if you're in the ages between, you know, let's say 35 and 55, you know, maybe an annuity is not the right thing for you, because one, you're basically, if it's a fixed annuity, you're basically fixed at a rate that could be actually lower than inflation, which is what we're seeing right now, right? Or if you're in a variable type of an annuity or an equity index annuity, yeah, your money's going to grow. But, you know, if you have what they call income riders, and you think you're going to use this, you know, as an income stream when you retire, well, you know, you got to remember, you're on a variable annuity, you're actually paying a cost for that. And equity index annuities, if they do have those riders as well, you're going to pay some sort of cost for that as well. So you just got to figure out, you know, the cost, the difference between the cost and whether you really think you're going to use that income, you know, through the annuity when you retire. Because I could tell you, a lot of people, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, did get those guaranteed income riders, and they were great. But what happened was, when they retired, they never used the rider. And so they paid all this money, you know, just to have that rider, just in case they were going to use the income. You could have used that money that you paid in expense. That could have been part of your rate of return. And if you look at a cumulative return, 10 years, 15 years, you know, that's a lot that, you know, you probably missed out on. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to make sure the advisor that is recommending this understand that it's the right thing for you.
Yeah, that's always key. All right. Appropriate use of mutual funds is next on our list. I know this is a tool that many people use to maybe get some diversification in their portfolio. But what do you think about mutual funds?
Well, you know, look, mutual funds, you have to, you know, obviously from years ago, we've seen a lot of mutual fund costs, internal costs, management costs have actually come down. And the reason that they've come down is because it's highly regulated right now. So they want to make sure that, you know, individuals, not only are they fully diversified, but they also want to make sure that costs are low and they're not paying a lot, you know, to have a mutual fund, maybe diversify or allocate their portfolio, you know, maybe once a quarter, maybe, you know, twice a year. So it all depends. And there are certain classes of, you know, mutual funds that, you know, you need to understand, you know, like Class A shares, right? So Class A shares, you're paying an upfront, you know, commission, right? So you got to understand that you're paying upfront. If you invested, let's say, as an example, $10,000, some of them could run you somewhere between 4.5 and 5.25 that you would have to pay upfront. So you're basically paying that, and then whatever's left, that's what you're investing, right? So you got to, you know, you got to understand that. Now, there's a C share class that, you know, people, you don't pay an upfront commission, but you do pay a 1% trail, which is what we pay, you pay every year. You pay that every year. So you got to understand the different classes, right? And the other thing you got to understand is, what is the management fee, you know, for that? What are the administrative fees, you know, for the mutual fund, right? Is that going to tap into your return? How is it paid? So you got to understand it. Now, again, mutual funds are a great way to, you know, diversify your portfolio, but, you know, you can look at other, you know, sorts of securities like an exchange traded fund, which we call ETFs. You can look at indexes. You can look at obviously individual stocks and bonds that you can invest in, bonds as well. So you could create your own portfolio, you know, where it has pretty much a diverse, you know, strategy to it. So again, talk to your financial advisor, understand what you're, you know, what you're getting yourself into, and then hopefully you'll get the right information. I'm sure you will. But always, again, get a second opinion, you know, before you make any moves.
All right. One more financial topic that comes up quite a bit that we want to get your opinion on is how much money to have in cash. And I'm guessing this one comes up quite a bit right now with the market going up and down. More people may want to have more in cash right now. But how do you help someone determine exactly how much they should have?
Sure. I mean, the norm is, and you can look this up on Google, if you're a single family household, income householder, you got to have at least 6 months worth of an emergency fund that includes your expenses, right? And the way we figure that out is obviously through a cash flow analysis, right? If you're a two income household, then it's really 3 months, right? But at the end of the day, it really all depends on your comfort level. If, you know, that's really the minimums, the 3 to 6 month are the minimums. Like, some people want to have a little bit more. They just want to have a little bit more of a cushion. You know, we tell them, look, if you're going to put that money into an emergency fund, just know it doesn't matter if you're getting interest, if you're not getting any interest, that money's there just for an emergency. So, you know, that would be my recommendation. I use that scale, the 3 to 6 month, one or two income household. And it's been working very well. A lot of clients agree. Some of them like a little bit more of a cushion, especially when they're older. But at the end of the day, you should have an emergency fund. We highly recommend that before we do anything.
Very good. Well, again, as you can see, it's all about sitting down with a financial planner and actually figuring out what's best for you, because whatever's most commonly believed might work for you, but you don't know for sure until you sit down and actually go through your portfolio, your needs, your goals, and figure out exactly what path you should take on each one of these. So again, if you want to lean on someone, or if you haven't worked with anyone before, I encourage you to always reach out to Spiros. 727-754-8418 is the number for the Athenian Private Client Group, or you can just visit our website, theaudibleadvisor.com. We put all of our podcasts there. You can contact Spiros right there through the website as well. It's very easy to do. But you can also listen to anything we've talked about. We've gone through a number of great financial discussions along the way. Episode number 20 in the book, Spiros. So always a pleasure catching up with you. And again, if you want to donate and help out those that were impacted by Hurricane Ian, we will put that in the show notes as well for you. So again, thanks for your time and insight today, Spiros, and I'm glad to hear that everything's okay in your office.
Yeah, thank you, Ben, and thank you for everybody who's continuously listened to my podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode, especially if you can, if you could afford to, please donate to our you know, residents down in Fort Myers area, Naples, Sarasota, Venice, all the areas that have been badly hit, and please pray for them, because they truly, truly need our help.
Yeah, no question. Well, thank you for being a part of the Audible Advisor podcast today. Please subscribe to the show too if you haven't already. New episode coming in a couple of weeks. So Spiros, we'll talk to you then.
Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Athenian Private Client Group are not affiliated.